or shear the sheep. Now, at first, I noticed the sheep is penned up in stalls, and that's likened unto people that are penned up in dead religion. They just pin them up. And once the shearer or the super preacher get a sheep off their feet or their foundation of truth and of identity, they're just defenseless against scissors and razors. They just are. The entire flock will stand naked and fleeced of the real good news. Now, once the foundation is disabled, once truth is shaken, if you will, the whole flock is without spiritual foundation or spiritual armor. So there's a lot of sheep fleecers around. And not judging them is just a fact. The Bible has many accounts of sheep shears. Now, old Judah was one, but we're not going to talk too much about him. And that old snake in the grass, Laban, who was Jacob's uncle, he was a snake in the grass because he gained all of his riches and his material stuff from Jacob's labor. Does that sound familiar? Now, I was thinking about this, you know, and that little ditty come to my mind where it says, bye, 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 black sheep. So it go like this, bye, bye, black sheep, have you any wool? No, sir, no, sir, not a bag full. None for the groceries and none for the game. Because the preacher took it all in vain. Now, I'm not saying you should not support the place that you come together to share. That ain't what I'm saying at all. You should, because somebody got to pay the light bill. That's not what I'm saying at all. You'll get it in a minute. Anyway, I wanted to share with you an example from the Bible about a sheep shearer, which I will refer to as a super preacher. In the New Testament, and in the book of Acts, it says there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, that'd be magic. Now, I don't know if you remember or not, but I do, when one of these super preachers claimed that his people, his followers, could grow golden teeth. And if you don't believe that, you can YouTube it. And people believe that. Control. Anyway, old Simon here, he used sorcery and he bewitched the people. That means he astonished them with acts, and he give out that he was some great one. I hear ego all over that, don't you? I do. So what he done was he sold the people a bunch of trot and a bunch of lies, and he demanded to be paid for it. But listen to his own words. Simon Says, y'all remember that game Simon Says? Simon Says to do this or that. Maybe that's where it comes from.
Control.
Yes, control. He said, give me also of this power, and on whosoever I lay hands, he shall receive the Holy Spirit. Now look how Apostle Peter dealt with him. Peter said to him, he said, thy money perish with you, because you sought that the gift of God might be bought with money. Your heart ain't right in the sight of God. I read one account, beloved, where Simon, he tried to, this ain't in the Bible, but it's something historical, Josephus or somebody, and said that he tried to teach the people to fly. And actually, he tried to fly himself. And he broke both legs in three places. So, anyway, don't fly. Y'all ever heard of the rapture doctrine? I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. Well, anyway, I'm not going to teach you rapture doctrine this morning. I'm not. But I will tell you that it teaches a quick escape, and it makes lazy followers because they don't think they have to do nothing. They just wait around until the trump blows and they just fly out of here. I will tell you this, and I hadn't planned on it, but it's true. I read this in a magazine that this woman and a man was going following a balloon truck down the road. You might have seen it. And they had these life-size balloons in this party truck. And something happened that the doors flew open and they lost their balloons and it looked like these people was flying up in the air. Well, Lord, have mercy. That woman thought she had missed the rapture. And she had to be confined for several days and counseled. Now, that was in a magazine. I remember it. Now, if you fool with most churches or you watch these televangelists, you're familiar with the word tithe. I'll get to it in a minute. It's explained by the religious as one-tenth of all your earnings. And this is to be paid to the church before you eat, before you buy anything for yourself or for your family. And they say if you do not tithe a 10% of everything that you got, you'll be cursed with a curse. Well, that sounds like sorcery to me. Anyway, today, the tithing doctrine is nothing more than a spiritual lottery. And it's like dangling carrots of riches in front of people and say, you don't have because you don't give. And nobody wins except those holding the shares. Today I want to share with you for just a minute about the beauty of what the true tithe really is. And I bet you already know. But I want to share that. It ain't money. It's something else completely different. The great book of Deuteronomy, I think in the Hebrew tongue you say that Baharan, and it means these are the words. Anyway, in Deuteronomy it says, Thou shalt truly tithe, means a tenth, all the increase of thy seed that the field brings forth year after year. That's what he said to tithe. It brings forth year after year. Well, beloved, think about that. What is your seed? It is the spiritual truth that's in your heart. What is the field? That is your heart. All right? What is the product of a seed? Well, that'd be fruit, wouldn't it? You ever hear of the fruit of the spirits? They're listed in Galatians. They're love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. You ever counted them? There are nine of them. Did you know that our brains have nine major regions? So we should be producing fruit. Good fruit. Nine of them. I like that. And there is no law, it says, of which there is no law against the fruit of the spirits. Well, why? Because then you're walking in grace, which is unmerited faith. And if you walk there long enough, then you become the fruit tree. You like that? I do. I do indeed. Speaking of seeds of the field, did you know the only time the people in Macon County that go to church lock their cars is during squash season? Because they don't want no more squash. They don't want no more squash. They don't. One more book, I guess, here. Probably the chiefest book used by the sheep shearers is the great book of Malachi. Malachi means God's messenger, and that'd be you. That'd be you, your angels and your messengers. Malachi asked questions. He said, will a man rob God? Question. Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Has nothing to do with money. We rob God, the Creator, and we rob ourselves if we neglect to share and bear the fruit of the Spirit. Love, peace, joy, self-control, mercy, respect. See? And then he says, bring all your tithes into the storehouse that you may have meat, that I might have meat in mine house. Your heart is a storehouse. It's not a building. I think so many times we misplace our true place of worship. It is within us. Thereby is the kingdom of God is within you. But that's your storehouse, is your heart. What does he want in it? Well, he wants meat. What is meat? Meat is nourishment. Meat is revelations and wisdom from your higher self that come about through meditation and prayer. That'll make you fat. That'll make you fat in good fruit and rich in the blessings. And then he says, if you do the hunting, you're going to have meat in your storehouse. If you do the meditating and you act decent, righteous, which means just do what's right, then you're going to have that in your storehouse. Well, today it's sad, but a hungry sheep will eat just about anything. And that's why you need to get your food from the Spirit of Truth that lives within you. And he goes on and quickly and he says, "And prove me now, therefore saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven." Where's the windows of heaven? Right here, your heart. "And pour you out a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it." Oh, how true. I'm telling you what, I do love to plow deep in spiritual matters. And I usually do it with my good friend, dear friend Vicki over here. And many times, and she'll tell you, we have been thinking or meditating on exactly the same subject. And when the subject, and then it comes up during the day in conversation, and we'll say, "Oh my goodness, you too?" And we begin to trade truths and tithe truths like that among each other. And that just amazes me. I heard Faye touch on that a little bit last Sunday. "And the windows of understanding pour forth. And beloved, it feels like warm honey sometimes. It's always life-giving spring rain on tender petals. That's nourishment. That's nourishment. It truly is. Being charitable becomes so very natural to enlightened ones. And we're not even conscious of it when it happens. It ain't something you really have to work about. It just comes natural. How do I know that? Because I read Matthew 25. You know, and the account where the master teacher is talking to the people there, and he said, "I was hungry and you fed me." Now, I don't think he is necessarily talking about a biscuit. "But you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink." We are to have a spiritual drink, a spiritual fountain to offer. And he said, "I was naked and you clothed me." Meaning people don't know who they are. They're naked of truth. They're naked of their identity. They think they're poor, feeble sinners waiting around for God to put warts on everybody's head. When they are somebody. Yeah, royalty. I like that. But it goes on in Matthew, you know, when he says, "I was hungry and you fed me and stuff." And what did they say? They said, "When? When did we do these things? When?" They didn't know. Because it comes natural, just like it does for you. You don't have to be told. It's just part of it. Back to tithing. My Uncle Ralph McConnell was reared on Skeener. We love our R's in the mountains. Skeener. Sometimes we might even say cow eater. But he liked to nip a little bit and made his own wine and everything. He was a good old cuss, though. He was. Anyway, he lived in Skeener. And did I mention the name of that bill? I mean, what it means?
Oh, yeah.
Skeener in the Cherokee tongue means the abode of the devil.
And that's where I live.
And that's where he lives. Oh, they've been some meanest went down up there. But they're some good people, too. They are. Well, years ago, Ralph won some lottery money. Well, lo and behold, here come the preacher pecking on the door. He said, "Now, Ralph, I've come to tell you that you need to give the Lord 10% of that money. And if you don't, you're not going to amount to a hill of beans." And Ralph put his bottle down and he said, "Preacher, I fully intend to. When you leave, I'm going to go out there under that tree and I'm going to throw it every bit up in the air and God can take what he wants. And I'll scrape it up and bring it back." Anyway, Jesus condemned tithing money. A lot of people don't realize that. They twist that scripture where it talks about it. But Jesus said, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites." You know, hypocrite is a play actor. That's all it is. "For you paid tithe down to the last mint leaf and have omitted the weightier matters of law and judgment and mercy and faith. These ought you have done and not to leave the other undone." What they done was they left the tithe that really matters out, which is the fruit of the Spirit. Did Jesus charge money for the Sermon on the Mount? Did he? He did not, did he? Did he? So tithe really, beloved, again, it only means 10 or 10%. It might be a phone call to encourage a friend. It might be helping somebody unload their buggy up at the Walmart. Or it might be visiting a nursing home. You talk about a blessing. Just go over there. Hold the hands of them elders. Feel that love surge through them. You know, bring a smile to them teethless mouth there. You know, it's just a blessing. Here's a life scripture. In Luke 6, and this is misconstrued, it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. For with the same measure that you meet with, it shall be measured to you." Didn't say nothing about money. But what it is the law of sowing and reaping. So I have to remind myself to watch my thoughts and my words and my deeds, because what I sow, I'm going to reap. And then lastly, the chief way religious shearers rob God's sheep is of spiritual freedom. I'm free. Are you free? I am free. Anyway, whom the truth sets free is free indeed. I love that. Anyway, but there's so many, beloved, so many of our brothers and sisters and families and whatever that have traded their birthright, their position, their identity, if you will, for vain creeds and doctrines and endless rules and bondage and tithing and so on. And religion has concealed true identity from the masses for thousands and thousands of years. Because they use it to control people. They do. There are four hidden dynasties. God forgive me, I'm going to have to say political. Throw me out. But there are four hidden dynasties that control the mass people. And Vicki might have to help me with them. But they are political,
religious
education, economic. That's how they get you. Anyway, but in closing, I guess it's pretty obvious I don't have much use for those that fleece the sheep, especially those, you know, the innocent ones. And sometimes it makes my blood boil. There is such a thing as righteous indignation. There is nothing wrong with that. There's things in this world that you're supposed to get mad about and make a difference. But boy, I tell you, sometimes, say my blood boils, when I hear those that dress and dance around in three-piece suits and talk about one that wore the dress of a slave. There's nothing wrong with looking nice. But who, you know, you about guess who bought it for them? The three-piece suit. How they eat very well, the finest in diners. Pick a steak out of their teeth in the finest meals. And they talk about one that hungered for 40 days and 40 nights. And they beg for money and they steal from widows. And they speak about one that took a coin from the fish's mouth to pay his taxes as an example to us. Don't let nobody steal your freedom or put you in bondage or pin you up and fleece you, because you're better than that. You are. It is written, and I ain't no preacher. Where the Spirit of the Lord or the Spirit of truth is, there is liberty. Let freedom reign. Oh, how sweet it is. Well, that's short and sweet. That's the way it ought to be, ain't it? That is true. How sweet it is. I thank you much for putting up with me. And I hope we get out sometime this week to try to do a little tithing among those that need it. Just show them you love them in some way. You can. They're not hard to find. They're not. And I just love you bunches. Did I bore you?
No.
All right. They've been a little talk, and you might not be a candidate for it. I just don't know. And if you ain't, you won't offend me one bit. But there's been a little talk that I might do a short meta. Come on. $5 words here. Metaphysical teaching a little on Sunday morning. Not to interfere with the key speaker at all. But if it's something that you might want to do, then I'd be willing to do what I could.
How many people are interested? And we're talking about at 10 o'clock?
Or 10:30 or quarter to 11, it don't make no matter to me. Yes, we'll just break the bread and share the meat. When do you want me to start? I can do it next Sunday if you want me to. We can try it, and if you don't like it, just say, get out. I know the way home. I've been thrown out so many churches, my knees are skinned.